Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to Right Here in Mass. Joining us today is Jonathan Grabowski, Executive Director of Marshfield Community Media and Board Member of Mass Access. Jonathan, welcome to the show. Please share more about you and what you do.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me. It's really excited to be on the other side. I'm so used to hosting podcasts, and to be on the other side being interviewed for one, it feels really weird. It's almost as if I know what I'm doing, but I really don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah, and which is exactly what you do at Marshfield Community Media. And I know you've been there for a long time. So I'd love if you could share with our listeners what you do as an executive director and what actually led you into working for Marshfield Community Media.
It's a long, strange trip. I'll be coming up on 15 years here at MCM, or what was known as MCTV. So just to kind of give you my background, I'm from the South Shore originally, from Hanover. I was one of those weird kids growing up that kind of knew what they wanted to do. I wanted to be in sports media. That was what I wanted to do. Other kids grow up, want to be an astronaut or a baseball player, basketball player. I want to be a sports media person. A lot of that was because growing up, my father worked at the Boston Garden. He was the building operations manager there. And one of my best friends is still to this day is a guy named Mike Ordway. His father, Glenn Ordway, was the radio voice for the Celtics for years, was drive time host on EEI for eternity. And having this being realizing, hey, there's this cool job. You actually get paid to like be on TV and talk to athletes. So that's what I wanted to do growing up. Got to college, did some on-air stuff, and then I did an internship my junior year at the late great Channel 56 in Boston, if you remember that. I worked the news desk. And what's great about small organization internships is you get thrown in the fire. You get really hands-on. At bigger places, sometimes you don't get the hands-on experience. So I was on the news desk. I worked there a couple days a week from about 9 to 4. And I was hunting and gathering news stories for reporters, calling, government entities. I have a great story about calling Mitt Romney's wife one time. It was the summer of 2003. So he was governor at the time. His family had a house on Lake Winnipesaukee, and he and his kids had saved a couple people from drowning on the lake. And so my assignment editor was like, see if you can find their number and call. I'm like, okay. So I found the number from the Romney's house in New Hampshire and had a nice 30-minute conversation. No, not 30-second conversation, Ann Romney, which was then followed by my news director getting a call from the governor's press office chewing him out, which was fun. So I really took a passion the hunting and gathering side of news in college, really the back end of TV production. So graduated college, or went to Assumption College, graduated in 2005. I was that weird kid that was doing like their demo reels and sending everything out like during senior week. I basically locked myself in the TV studio and just like that senior week and just sent out every reel I had. Got a job in New England Sports Network, otherwise known as NESN, right off the bat. Like I think I had like got home from graduate from college. And I had like interviews the next week, which was really great. Was at NESN for 2 years, and then I actually had volunteered at that community media center in Norwell during that time. I think one of my brother's friends was helping on a show, and they're like, oh, John, you're majoring in communications. Why don't you help us out? So I did that. And then I applied for a job with Comcast down the Cape, and I didn't get the position. They gave it to an in-house candidate, but I had a really good rapport with the person who was head of like community access for Comcast in like Southeastern Massachusetts. And she was like, by the way, there's this position opening up in Marshfield. It's a contract position. Do you want it? And this was circa September 2007. Mm-hmm. And this was an interesting time in community media. I know I'm really elongating the story, but we're getting to a point somewhere. And at the time, the way community media was run in towns was that Comcast ran it. Mm-hmm. And the way contracts are negotiated between, the towns and Comcast, Verizon is, there's a service provides, and that's community access. And a lot of time, all these towns were having their contracts renegotiated. Comcast was saying, we're getting out of the media business. We're getting out of running these studios. So town XYZ, you can do whatever you want with it. And so I was in there during that transition, and a few of the volunteers then became the new board of what was then Marshfield Community Television. So I was their first employee. And then March of 2008, they were like, we need to hire an executive director. And I wasn't actually going to apply. I was like, I'm not qualified for this position. because like I had interviewed at a few other places, didn't get a job here and there, you know, and a couple of the people that were applying this job, people that didn't hire me. So I'm like, here I am at 24, you know, 25, whatever, being like, this is not happening. So my mom was like, apply, what's going to happen? You know, big deal. So I applied, interviewed, and crazy enough, they hired me. I remember being like, oh my God, they just hired me for this executive director job. So March this year, I'll be 15 years here. So MCM, we've grown. We were known as Marshfield Community Television. We started as a staff of one, staff of two, in a really rundown YesterTech studio. And those first few years were so exciting, where we were just growing. You know, we were adding staff, we were putting policies in place, we were connecting, we were really working hard to connect the community, because community media had such a bad rapport in Marshfield. Yeah. It was, you know, it was so bad, and trying to turn that culture around and make it like an essential part of the community has kind of been the driving force over the past 15 years. So that's the long way of how I became the executive director here. So, and it's been really exciting. I mean, we've grown immensely. We moved into our new facility back in 2014, which was a labor of love. We had we were looking for a new home, and a few of our board members were associated with the school department. Mm-hmm. My then board president, Joe Schran, who's still on the board, fantastic. He and his wife were part of the, you know, Marshfield High School building, you know, get out and support the vote committee. And his wife was the school committee chair at the time. And, you know, the sell was that, you know, new Marshfield High School would be a community building. And we'd always done stuff with the telecommunications program here. And we said, hey, why don't we all just move in together? You know, we can support the program directly. We need a new home. And, you know, $500,000 later, we have a state-of-the-art facility. You know, that it's really a shining example of community media and, you know, those partnerships in town. You know, that, you know, this is a selling point to the community, that this is a community building. People of all ages, skill sets, backgrounds come here to MCM to learn how to use equipment and create content.
I love that. And I have a few questions just from what you've shared, with one being, what made you want to make the transition from NESN to community media?
Great question. You know, like at a place like NESN, it's a great place to learn, but there's not a huge growth area. Mm. Sometimes names don't mean you're going to get paid well and your hours are going to be great.
Yeah.
So it became, all right, I've been here for 2 years. I'm not going to be going up in the company. Let me look for other things. And it's a commute too. I mean, when I start, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm from Hanover originally, I live in Marshfield now. And it's a hike getting into Boston. And then when the studio moved to Watertown, you know, a couple of days a week going through traffic, working funky hours. And it was like, I've learned my skills and it's time to move on.
Yeah. And becoming executive director, did you have difficulty stepping immediately into a leadership position? And how did you navigate that?
Yes, definitely. Because they don't teach you leadership. You know, they don't teach you leadership in school. They don't teach you, you know, a lot of those management type skills that you really need in life. And so you learn on the fly, you fail a little bit. I was really fortunate. I had some really great mentors. So I had a really great board. First off, they were a wide range of people that were engaged in the community, had a wide range of backgrounds, from navigating local politics to financial to community engagement to technical. Also, I had a mentor too, Nancy Richard, who was the longtime executive director at PAC TV. They had hired her to mentor me during the process. You know, so, and it was great because, you know, it was basically like, you know, she gave me access to everything and was an open book about, you know, here's the things you need to do. And she was great about setting things up instead of me kind of doing this completely cold. Mm. That was really great. And something else I did was I worked with the business coach. You know, a month, probably a year or two in, I was like, there are certain skills that I don't have that I want to learn that are important for me to succeed in this position. So I worked with the business coach and that was absolutely fantastic. It was a real kind of mind-blowing, like, okay, there's more of this than just teaching people how to use equipment and filming stuff. You know, it's, we are a nonprofit, but we are a business, you know, we have to run like a business. You know, we have finances take care of, you know, board members that, you know, that aren't essential to what we do and who want to be part of the organization. And we have to engage with town government all the time. And they have to make sure that we're running a proper business.
Right. Absolutely. And with one of the things that you do at Marshfield Community Media, of course, you help to just tie in all these different stakeholders and residents within the area. And so how did that happen or change or anything like that during the pandemic when people relied more on stuff like communications to be able to get what they needed when they needed it?
One of the other companies have like their guiding principles. I have our guiding questions, and actually they're probably, you can see them probably written behind me, but the big one is like, how can we be essential to the community? You know, being seen as an essential part of the community, because, you know, the media landscape and the way people get their information has changed dramatically since I started. Like when we first started, you know, if you want to be seen in town, you know, you came to us. Now you just pull out your phone, you have instant access to reach all these different people in your community. And also newspapers have changed. You know, we used to have the Marshfield Mariner and now we don't. So information, people getting reliable information about their community has been so important. And it was that kind of constant, you know, how do we be essential to town? It's always been that question. It was that question before the pandemic. And I remember right when March 2020 happened, you know, all the chaos is going on. The town's coming to us right at you know, those first few weeks of March going like, hey, can you help us with this? How do we get this message out? And I remember sitting in my office with Sean Larry, who's our content manager, who handles a lot of our government stuff. And we're on speakerphone with the town administrator, Mike Maresco, saying, you know, we're with you. We're going to do whatever we can to help you. And so that was our big role, was how during the pandemic was how do we get information out to the community? That's really important. So that was like our primary focus. And then it was, all right, how do we make sure people are able to produce content? You know, because our studio was closed. So we were all working from home, trying to figure out how to do Zoom at the time, you know, trying to integrate various things like, oh, some of the setups we had were pretty entertaining. So and then, all right, who's going to run in to film this thing with the police chief or, you know, a lot of those situations. So we really figured out, and we were actually one of the first stations to come back. We started rolling staff back in late May of 2020 on a gradual basis. And then we got to a point where our staff rolled, you know, completely rolled back in the fall. But one of the things we realized was people needed us more.
Yeah.
It was a great example was sports. So, you know, there was a restriction on how many people could attend a game. And one of our current members is the Marshfield High Athletic Director. So he was like, we need help. Can you, when we were always, sports is always important to us. You know, we survey the community usually every other year. And one of the big asks them is sports and more sports and more sports. So it was not only can you film the varsity games, but can you cover the JV games? Can you cover the freshman games? So I think we did like 90 something games, you know, one school year.
Oh my gosh. It was
crazy. And then a lot of like community groups were like, we need help with our gala, or we're going to do a hybrid event or a virtual event. Can you do a video for us? So there was a ton of that where organizations that we'd worked with, maybe we had done a gala with them, gala video for them in the past, were coming to saying like, can you help us produce a virtual event? Like Road to Responsibility is a great example. So we'd worked with them for years and they said, we're going to do our gala hybrid. Can you, you know, do all the video production of it? And we did. And we've had a lot of the organizations be like, come to us and ask us for that support. So it's basically that the needs of the community become greater, which is a good and a bad thing, because it's great that people trust us, know us, like working with us. But also as an executive director, the challenge is I'm more hands-on than ever. You know, as an ED, it's like you hire more staff to bring people in to do, the in the weed stuff. And, you know, and one of the things my board had wanted me to do maybe in the 3 years leading up to that was get more out of the weeds, do more of the strategic planning, the big stuff. And, you know, the pandemic hits and you're back right in the weeds, rolling up your sleeves. So I've been trying to get back out of that again, but it taught us to think on our feet, taught us technology things. You know, we learned a lot. There was things that we tried that worked really well. No, it shaped the way also it shaped the way our organization changed a little bit. You know, we became more, you know, on our feet, virtual. How do we do things remotely, that sort of stuff. And it really helped. It's really helped the community and our members.
I love that. And the organization also grew during the pandemic with just how much more you were needed. So how did you identify what staff members you needed to fulfill certain duties and then mm-hmm. be able to execute that during such like a crazy time?
I have one of the best staffs. That's one of the things I tell people is, you know, what makes the organization great is the staff. And at that point I had, you know, the best staff. I mean, I've always had great employees. I'm saying that, you know, because they are great, but like during that time I had like the most flexible, easiest people to work with who were like, okay, I'm going to take that on. So everyone has like a certain particular role here. And what's great too, is that they're also willing to jump in when there's certain needs that have to be accomplished. If someone's really busy with something, hey, it's very plug and play where this person can come in and jump that. So like getting information out to the community during the pandemic, when we're all kind of in this, some people working from home, some people are here where, so like Sean, who's our content manager here and does government stuff, he's handling government meetings. And Jen, who was our production manager at the time, who's handling our news stuff, she's taking care of like the news pieces with, you know, the superintendent or, you know, the town administrator. And then, you know, Kayla, who's our marketing membership manager, she's turning that out to the community, get that out there. So everybody kind of works together. It was a real, and we always talked. That was the great thing about, you know, we always do like a Monday staff meeting, but we incorporate Slack and we're pretty communicative here. So it worked really well that everybody was kind of on the same page. We had like a guiding set of principles and everybody knew their role and knew when to jump in to help someone else out.
Yeah, that's amazing. And with you being the executive director and now hopefully being able to step back into that big overview and planning, what really does your role focus on in terms of the strategic planning and different responsibilities that you have day to day?
Great question, because we've gone through a lot of change in the past, I'd say since August 2021. So coming out of the pandemic, we were having these discussions going, all right, where are we going? What are we doing? You know, what's the vision? And I said, you know what, guys, and I said to my board time, I go, let's hire someone to do a strategic plan. We never had that full sit down, put it on paper. So we had a great session with two people that we worked with, and we actually came put together a strategic plan. And then when we started executing it a little bit, the issue came up of, I don't know if the staff has the bandwidth to do all this. Mm. You know, it looks great on paper, but sometimes something looks great on paper. Then when you actually try to execute it, it's like, and so we had a consultant come in that did a value chain time management thing with the staff. And she said, hey, you guys are doing all you can. You there's no issues of like management or overlap. You know, if anything, you need more help. Mm. And so we had some really tough conversations afterwards, and we had some change at the board level. So we actually brought in a new board earlier this year. And what's really great about it too is that we've gotten a fresh set of eyes, new skill sets that we needed. Like every nonprofit should have an accountant on their board of directors, because accounting and nonprofit management, it's like that is one of the most fickle, tricky things in the world. So having a younger board with a fresh set of eyes, you know, who are now looking at that strategic plan saying, hey, let's take that and tweak that around. Mm. And it's great because for example, we had a board meeting last night, and it's so much fun working with them because they're bought into it, number one, and they have a really great set of ideas, and we're able to kind of send things back and forth where they're saying, hey, what about this? And I'm saying, okay, that's a great idea. This is how I think we can, you know, run with it. And I can take their expertise and say, hey, I'm not sure about this. You're the professional here. Tell me what you think. And that's been really good about growing the organization. I have a new board president, Julie Williams, who you might know. She's the vice president of the South Shore Chamber. Yeah, she is absolutely fantastic. And we have some really amazing board members. And so it's just such a joy working them to kind of, and they want to grow the organization. We've always grown. We're always growing, but they have some really great concrete ideas that we're going to be hopefully executing over the next year. The challenge is too. So my wife is expecting our first child in mid-May.
Oh my goodness. Congratulations.
So it's like, how do we keep on this trajectory that's been like that, like that's going off, but also be like, hey guys, I'm out for a couple of months, you know? So,
So the
goal, as I said to my staff and the board, is, you know, the excuse of John is not here is not acceptable. You know, everything, you know, act as if I'm here, you know, you're all empowered to do things. And I'm a phone call or a text away if needed.
Yeah. And that's what I was just thinking, is that it sounds like from how close you've been able to build those bonds with your staff, that if you were to step away, things like nothing would ever change. Nothing would be disrupted because of the fact that everyone works so well together and knows what to do and when to do it.
Yeah. I mean, there's the big stuff. I mean, there's minor things here and there. I still keep my hand a little bit in the production game. Like, you know, you've been on our Let's Talk Business podcast, and we also do a nonprofit version. So it'd be finding someone to kind of take that over. But like the big stuff, like making sure government stuff's covered, you know, sport athletics and our school stuff's covered, you know, our public side is always going in our podcast. I mean, all that stuff's still going to keep going on.
And on the topic of the board, with getting a new board that you implemented, what was the process of finding the right people who could fill what you needed, but then also would be dedicated? Because what I've seen with just different organizations is that when the topic of potentially becoming a board member comes up, people are like, oh, I would love to be a board member. But then when it comes to actually doing the work, that's a completely different story. So what was that like, of just being able to find the right people to fill that position and know that they were going to deliver what you needed them to deliver?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because I've served on boards in the past, and it's such a tricky thing because every board's different, you know. There are nonprofit boards that are big fundraising boards. There are boards that, you know, there are oversight boards. There are boards that are working boards. So it's like figuring out what type of board you want to be and what type of organization it is. Early in 2022, we had a few board members leave after those discussions, because one of the recommendations that came from, you know, the one of the consultants was, you know, the board has to be more active and engaged.
Yeah.
You know, we had people that have been on the board for 10, 12 years and were semi-retired. And, you know, as great as they were, it was kind of like, all right, well, maybe this isn't the right fit for me at this point. You know, I'm living in Florida half the year. I don't have maybe the time to be the treasurer of the organization. Right. So, you know, when Julie stepped up to be the president, you know, we sat down, we just went through, we literally put together a Google sheet of, you know, all these people that we knew that would be a good fit and had a skill set, you know, or they had a connection to the community somehow, or they had a skill set that we definitely needed. So that was one thing. And it's, you know, and they had an idea of the organization. And so my job really with a lot of the newer members is kind of giving them that MCM 101 of kind of teach. So every board meeting, I give them a kind of a 101 course on a particular aspect of the organization. So like last night when the board met, they learned all about the membership structure here. They learned, I believe, the time before that about how content's distributed. You know, so they all have like a good grasp of the organization from like a basic standpoint, in addition to the higher level stuff that they have to work on.
Absolutely. And with the strategic plan, was the rebrand a part of that?
It was part of it. So it was really funny because it came up in our original strategic plan when we did in August of 2021. And then when we had the consultant come in afterwards, they said, hey, you know, why don't, you know, maybe change the name? Because you guys aren't just a TV studio anymore. And it's like, all right, we've had two sets of consultants tell us we need to change the name. So let's do it. So we kicked around some ideas. You've worked in the branding, you know, in marketing space. So you get it. So we kicked around some ideas and we came out when Marshfield Community Media was the best fitting. You know, it shows what we do as an organization. You know, we are the community media center for Marshfield. Then we went through the whole logo and branding process. So we've worked with a really great designer over the past few years. And so we went through kind of the branding phase with them, did a couple run-throughs of, you know, various ideas of the logo. And that was done probably March, April of 2022. And we said, let's kind of do like a big teaser campaign. So we said July 1, it's going to be official because that's the start of our fiscal year, good tie-in. And so we got it all together and we started teasing it in May, you know? And so it was really funny. We started saying, hey, we got a big announcement. And, you know, being active and engaged in community, I had a lot of people ask me about it, like, what is it? Tell me about it. What are you guys doing? And we did a few teasers over it. We had some really fun with that. I had the staff produce some teasers. I produced a couple. We did one. I think the last one we did was late because we announced it in mid June. Mm-hmm. That officially July we're going to be MCM, but like early July I did one on camera, which was really funny, like bringing up some of the questions that people had asked me in the community. We did a nice big release video that June, kind of saying like, here's why we're doing it. Just so much work that goes into a rebrand. You don't realize it's really funny.
Yeah.
As you know, like all these things that you don't think about. Like we had like a 4-page bullet point list of like, all right, all this stuff needs to be changed.
Yeah.
Or like all this stuff on your website, you don't think about like how many times your logo and name are on your website. Like t-shirts, branding materials, all that work we're doing during that time period, social media, capturing all the web domain names, all that stuff. So it was crazy. And there was still stuff like later on, we didn't realize that we're like, oh, we forgot about this, updating all your documents, your legal documents. So like, yeah. it was so much fun. And we did a big celebratory annual meeting in July where we kind of really kicked it off and it was a blast. I mean,
that's fun.
It was a long time coming. I mean, we needed a fresh look. I mean, the core essentials are there, but you know, we needed a name that better reflects what we do because we're not just a TV studio anymore. I would say a good chunk of the people that come in nowadays are looking to do a podcast. You know, I call it like the gateway drug of media in that like not everyone wants to be on camera. Like everyone wants to have a 30-minute TV show. It's, you know, I admit it's uncomfortable, you know, it's sticking a microphone in people's faces and whatnot, but podcasts are great because we can put them in our small studio. It's dark. You get a microphone. No one has to see you. But then once they get a little comfortable, they're like, hey, maybe I could do this video thing. So we've done a lot with podcasting. We still have a lot of people doing video stuff. Gaming, esports has been a big thing for us over the past few years. Yeah. We had Sean, I'm going back to Sean again. We've always talked about years ago doing outside the box stuff. Mm. It was like, how could we be more outside the box? And this is when podcasting was still kind of in its infancy. And so podcasting and gaming, like, you know, esports. So we did some stuff and we had a Super Smash Brothers tournament here one day. We had 64 kids signed up for it.
No way.
Oh my God. It was a zoo. So like on a Saturday in February, we did like the first Saturday of February vacation. We had 64 kids one here. I think we did it in 2019 or it was 2019. We did it. It was wild. We were here. Like, I don't think we realized how big it was going to be. Like we were here for like, I think we got here to set up at like 7 a.m. We didn't leave till like 11 o'clock at night.
Oh my gosh.
We've done a few other tournaments like Mario Kart. And it's like, how do we get these younger kids in here? You know? And yeah. it was like, oh my, he's like, oh, cool. Is it this tournament? But also check out the studio. Oh, you mean I can do stuff here and film things? Like, it's so crazy how like esports has gotten big and Twitch mm-hmm. and like everyone wants to be YouTube famous now. So it's like, how do we tap into that market?
Yeah. And that's one of the things that has always stood out to me with Marshfield Community Media is just the innovation of it. And what can we do to kind of go with the changing times that are happening in mm-hmm. our community and serve new needs that are popping up. And with like what you mentioned, one of them being podcasting, I forget what the actual stat was, but I read a stat a few weeks ago that was just like an astronomical number of how much podcasting grew during the pandemic. And so with that, when people come to you and they're looking to produce their podcast, do you help them with everything from the ideation stage to actual execution?
Yes. So we get a lot of like either nonprofits or business owners, and they're like, I was told I need to do a podcast. Okay, great. So, I mean, and it works this way with anyone doing, if it's video or even just podcast, where someone comes in with an idea or know they need to do it. And our job, you know, is that initial kind of concept of like, how do we make this work, you know, and how do we make it easy for you too? Because that's the, you know, the two things are state of the art and user friendly. That's kind of always been our push. So how do we make it somewhat easy for you? You know, so because it's so easy to get overwhelmed putting together, you know, multimedia type stuff. So we work with people, we show them how to use the equipment. What if they do stuff here, we set everything up for them and we take them through the process. And, you know, they get comfortable. We tell them, you know, you're not going to kill it the first time out, you know,
right?
Don't be afraid to make mistakes. You can always edit things later on. And we work with people doing that. We've gotten more hands-on than we used to be. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, in order for us to get content, we need to, you know, it's something that we talked about a couple of years ago is that, you know, we're going to have to be more engaged because people's bandwidth has become more and more limited, you know, that, right. You know, the amount of time that they had maybe 5 years ago to produce something isn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. And they still want to do it and we want them to do it. So we're just going to have to roll up our sleeves a little more. So we sit down with people to take them through the process, help them edit, you know? Yeah.
I love that. And with the podcasting, because like you said, people are able to avoid video, which is huge. On the opposite end, for people who are getting into video but might be uncomfortable, what are your recommendations for just being able to help them feel confident and comfortable showing up in front of the camera when it might be something they're not used to?
This is a great question because we do a public service announcement day every summer. And we've done this for years where we invite local nonprofit organizations. They could be in Marshfield or they serve the South Shore and they all come in and produce like a 60-second PSA. Mm-hmm. And you get a wide range of people some who are fantastic, that one take, they love it. And people who drew short straw that day to come in and do the PSA for the organization. So, we tell us for everyone is like, you know, don't worry about making a mistake. You know, I'd say almost everything we do isn't live. That's film theater. Yeah. It's not live tape. So we can always restart. We can always edit it. You know, we tell them, pretend you're not in a TV studio. That's the one thing, like, you know, pretend you're having a conversation with someone. When we do a lot of these like PSAs or we sit down for a podcast, I tell them, it's like, pretend you're at like a chamber after hours. And you're just talking to someone about your business. That's literally what we're doing here.
Yeah.
You know, what's that, you know, with the PSAs, it's what's that kind of 30, 60 second pitch you give to someone at an event, you know, when you're sitting around talking to someone or when we're doing a podcast, it's like, what's if you and I were out for coffee and we're just talking about your business, you know, think of it that way. And after a few minutes, they get comfortable. That's really kind of how we really push it.
Yeah. I imagine it's probably just the anticipation of it that probably gets people all tripped up and just thinking about it rather than actually doing it.
it's thinking of it. And then they come into the facility. We're really fortunate. We have a really nice facility. Mm-hmm. So they come in, they see all the cameras, the bright lights, the buttons, and they're like, oh my God, like, what am I doing here? And you know, and it's just like, don't worry about it. You know, pretend pretend that camera you're talking into is actually like a person, you know. Yeah. There's someone on the other side who's going to see it. And we try to keep people relaxed. You know, we've done a lot of stuff with people. One of our big things is candidate programming. So we just got out of, you know, November election programming, and before you know it, we'll be in spring, you know, town election programming. So we do a lot of meet the candidate shows, and, you know, it's getting candidates comfortable. You know, when we do a lot of stuff, whether it's candidates programming or our podcasting, I send people questions in advance a lot of times.
That's helpful.
Just so they know what they're getting into, you know. And with our PSAs that we do, I'll send the people who are doing it, you know, like example PSAs. So they're like, okay. And I tell them, stick to the basics.
Yeah.
Who you are, what you do, how you serve the community, and how people can get in touch with you. Just focus on those key aspects.
Yeah, I love that. And with the organization that you've been focusing on, like, you not only support the community, but like you said, you also have individuals who are coming in and businesses who are coming in. Yeah. So for people who might be listening who are in Marshfield and own a business, how can Marshfield Community Media support them?
Great question. A few different ways. We have the ability, people can sign up for membership here. So membership gives you access to the facility, the equipment, and the training of the staff and the, you know, that hands-on help. The big thing with that is that whatever you produce, it has to air on one of our platforms. That's the big thing. And it can't be over the top commercial in nature. But if say you're a business, let's just say you are, trying to think of a good business example of someone that we, it's not commercial about your business, but you can be an expertise about your business. So say you're a contractor, it's not commercial about your business, but say you want to produce a show about renovating homes or something like that. That's a great way to produce content that airs on our stuff, but also we can give it to you. You can post it on your website. Also, people, as we mentioned, produce podcasts, talking about the nature of their industry. We have a few realtors that do stuff like that. They talk about the housing market and the real estate market, bringing on, mortgage brokers and, closing attorneys to talk about that sort of thing. Also, we do a lot of for hire stuff too. Our production service end has become really popular in the past few years where companies know they need video for business and they call us and they hire us to do video for them. It could be a video for their website. It could be a video for their social, video for like a client type thing that they're doing. So we've done a wide range of production service projects over the past few years. So that's how like a business can get, or can get working with us. And then individual members, we have people all the way from like teenagers all the way to people in their 70s that come here and produce content, which is really, really cool. And it's really, it depends on what they want to do. It's really sitting down with them and talking about, hey, I want to produce something. Okay. So how do we get there? What are the things that you need to do? How can we help you? What are the things that you need to learn? So it's kind of taking through that process, and it's really great seeing someone come in and with an idea and then a month or two later, seeing them produce their first thing. It's so satisfying and it's really exciting for them too. And it's one of the most like fun experiences, or like when you have like a kid who's been here for years and watching them grow up is really cool too. Like we have a lot of young kids that come here. We had a kid a couple of years ago who volunteered or did like our summer program when he was like 10 or 11. And then a couple of years later, he's a high school intern. So it's really cool seeing some of those people grow up and evolve and, or we've had interns come back and work for us. We've had a long, long lasting internship program at Marshfield High School. And it's been cool to see two of those come back for full-time positions. And so it's like, wow, it's just really neat.
I love that. And working for an organization that often supports local businesses, what are your favorite local businesses to support?
I have a couple businesses that I love. So number one, Stellwagen Brewery in Marshfield.
The best.
Not only do they have great beer, but the atmosphere and the environment they have is so cool. One of my favorite things to do, my wife and I will occasionally go to trivia with my brother and his girlfriend. Because we're trivia junkies. And then like a great example, and it's such a family atmosphere because like during Christmas break, my mom wanted to go. My mom's, she's in her early 70s. She's like, what? It'll be okay if I go. Like, she's like, I don't want to be like a fuddy-duddy. It's like, no. So she came, my best friend and his 9-year-old son came. So it was so cool to have this brewery with great beer that's local, but also this really cool environment that anyone there is welcome. You don't have to be some, hipster beer drinker. So that's number one. Bikeway in Hanover is where I'm a cycling junkie. And that's where I buy all my bikes. They do such great work there. The staff's fantastic. Business Center in Marshfield's another one. We've worked with them for years. They do all our shipping, all our printing, sort of it's affordable. They turn things around so quickly. And another one that we've worked with a ton, especially with the rebrand, is Rockland Athletic Supplies. Dave Evans over there, I've known him for years and they do such great work. They're so easy to work with and they're so community focused. So those are some favorite local businesses for sure.
Love that. Jonathan, this has been such an awesome episode and I love being able to share more about you and all that you do for Marshfield Community Media. So if anyone would like to connect with you further, please share where they can find you online.
They can go to our website, marshfieldcommunitymedia.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and I know we have a TikTok that we're working on as well. Ooh. They can also stop by the facility. We love when people come by. So we're located at Marshfield High School. So if you're facing the front of the building, you want to go around to the right-hand side by the tennis courts, and we're halfway down that side. Just knock on the door, and come on in. You know, we love having people in. We love showing them the facility. And also they can email me, jgrabowski@marshfieldcommunitymedia.com.
Perfect. And I will link to all of those in the show notes in case our listeners would like to click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for being a guest today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Ashley. This is so fun.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.